news, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
I like it when it's all jumbled up and you got me and Dalton and then Sean's in here and then Dr. Captain and then Captain Bill and everybody. You know, we just... But it's kind of a free-for-all. It's kind of fun.
It's a group effort.
Yeah, it is a group effort to inform you and hopefully entertain you. It's Dan Brennan, Dalton Arwig, Mobile Mornings at 7 minutes after 8 o'clock on FM Talk 106.5. Less entertaining and more informing in the wake of what we had a week ago Wednesday morning, which was crazy. And you're still living the crazy world, many of you, because you don't have power yet, many of you in Baldwin County. Well, I say many of you. If it's you, it's a big problem.
That's all that matters if it's you.
Exactly. The numbers are better, obviously, but if you're without power right now, we got you back, and hopefully soon you're going to have your lights on.
Yeah, and checking some of the latest power outage numbers, Baldwin EMC, as of the latest update from just about 10 minutes ago, down to 2,103 customers without power, and Riviera Utilities down to 3,701 customers without power. And yesterday morning, we talked with Mark Ingram, vice president over there at Baldwin EMC, and he's been keeping us updated throughout the entire last couple of weeks. Even before the storm, he was on with Sean Sullivan to say how Baldwin EMC was preparing, and he told us yesterday, of course, their line crews have been out working pretty much nonstop since 8 days ago when the storm hit, and they're hoping to have the rest of the power back on for the remaining customers by this Sunday. Now, some of the homes have so much damage or such dangerous damage that they can't yet supply energy to those homes, but for everyone else where it's safe for power to be restored, they're hoping to have that done by Sunday. And same for Riviera Utilities. They said over the next week they hope to have the remainder of their customers back in power.
One other thing Mark talked about, I thought it was a good question from you talking about, now we've pretty much gone through this. This is the first time in a long time we've had an outage like this, mm-hmm. since Ivan, really, in Baldwin County, I'm sure. The last big disaster was in 2014 with the floods over there. That was kind of a crazy one-day event that the ramifications were more than one day. But you remember that morning when things were just went haywire?
Yeah, and Katrina also. I don't know exactly what it was like down here on the coast. I was up in Grove Hill in Clark County, and yeah. I know when Katrina hit,
it wasn't good.
We were out of power for a couple of weeks.
Really?
Yeah, we were. And I made the worst mistake of my life that week. Maybe not the worst mistake of my entire life, but the whole town was without power for a couple of weeks after Katrina. And my family and I, we were actually staying in a camper for a time because the generator could supply power to the entire camper. Yep. We went out to eat. Finally, we were able to get out and went to a local, now Grove Hill, local seafood restaurant. Mm-hmm. Actually, it was more of a home cooking restaurant, and I decided to get the fried oysters when power had been out in the town for 2 weeks.
It's a terrible move.
I got the fried oysters.
Did you wander there with your little brother, no parents with you, and you just lifted a Visa card off of the
They didn't step in. Maybe it was a life lesson kind of thing, but they didn't step in the time.
It was a life lesson, I'm sure.
The sickest I've ever been was power had been out for 2 months, getting 2 weeks raw oysters or fried oysters. Won't be making that mistake again. But I know Katrina. We've had several instances like this in the past, and yeah, Mark Ingram talked about that a little bit yesterday.
Yeah, he talked about the learning experience of all of this.
This tip for the outdoorsman is brought to you
but
by...
But that's not what he said. This is what he said. Here's Mark Ingram.
Yes, we're always looking at that. And one of the things that we did this time, guys, is we brought in storm services. Mm. They have been phenomenal for us. We set up a base camp at Owa that had over 1,300 linemen there. And then we had another base camp in Bay Minette area as well, too. But I tell you, Storm Services has come in and made our job easier on the logistics side so we could concentrate on what we do best, and that is providing power and restoring power to our members.
Yeah, it's been quite a week for all those linemen out there and all the linemen who came to our area. There's a heartbreaking story on our
Facebook page
about a lineman returning home from here. Or at least he might have been in Georgia, but in any event, he had a tragic accident on the way home. So these people are giving everything they've got to us right now, and it was nice to see the little parade over in Fairhope for the linemen.
Yeah, that was really
that
cool.
Were visiting.
That was really cool. They did that the other day, and neighbors helping neighbors, and not just local community neighbors, but also from other states and power line crews coming down to help. And today, there's still many places and many organizations that are giving out hot meals. Giving out food, ice, MREs, things of that nature today. The Foley Lions Club, they're handing out free box meals in Alberta at the Baldwin County Heritage Museum from 4 to 6 p.m. today. That's the Baldwin County Heritage Museum in Alberta. And they said one meal per person while supplies last. The Choo Choo Food Truck in Silver Hill today. It's Choo Choo, C-H-E-W, Choo Choo. I like what they did there. they're giving away free hot meals in Silver Hill today from 4 to 6. And then tomorrow.
You're easily amused.
I am. And then they named the truck for people like me. and then tomorrow they'll be in Foley from 4 to 6. United Way had a great conversation yesterday on the Jeff Poor Show with Marina Simpson. She was on.
Yep,
and she said that they have these points of distribution, one at the Gulf Shore Sportsplex and Gulf Shores United Methodist Church, also the Orange Beach Sportsplex and Bear Point Community Center. They'll be giving out lunch and dinner today, and also roving unit that's going around to different neighborhoods and giving out hot meals. You can find out more from UnitedWay-BC.org. They've got the schedule there and the locations. Found this on one of these Facebook groups that has people banding together and letting folks know more information.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a group of retired military volunteers is arriving this morning.
Wow.
They're going to serve meals around starting 5 p.m. this afternoon. They're going to be set up in the Lillian Fellowship Church on County Road 99 in Lillian, a place that was just devastated by the storm. So they'll be serving meals tonight around 5 at the Lillian Fellowship Church in Lillian. Hot meals being served also at the Lillian United Methodist Church today, tomorrow, and Saturday at 12 p.m. and 5 p.m. You can contact Pastor Daniel at 251-234-1122, but that's at the Lillian United Methodist Church on South Perdido Street today, tomorrow, and Saturday at 12 and 5 p.m. The Salvation Army, they're serving lunch and dinner today on Gates Avenue in Magnolia Springs starting at noon. That's on Gates Avenue in Magnolia Springs starting at noon. Also, the Summerdale Church of Christ doing lots of great work. They said yesterday they handed out or delivered nearly 1,500 meals and other donated supplies, and they have around 900 meals ready for today. And they're set up there at the Summerdale Church of Christ on 59 in Summerdale from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. daily. Now, Summerdale Church of Christ, they had a lot of damage themselves.
That's what I was thinking.
Around $300,000 worth of damage to the church from the storm.
Exactly.
But yeah, they're still out there serving.
That's really got my attention, because I was listening to the places you were talking about. Lillian, Alberta, Summerdale, Foley, and there you have these places. They were wrecked by this storm, and they're just kind of coming out of the ashes themselves and doing God's work for their neighbors, because they know it's the right thing to do, but they're really hurting themselves. So any way you can be a volunteer or help in any way. I heard Feeding the Gulf Coast on FM Talk 106.5 last night. That's a great group to make a donation to. They can stretch $5-$10 like you can't believe with all their contacts. So
yeah,
somebody to keep in mind if you want to make a donation this at this point. It'll be going to storm relief. 8:15 FM Talk 106.5. Some good news from the beach we've got for you. That's on the way. A21 on FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. Hey, this is Dan Brennan. Life is filled with uncertainties. Don't we know it? Your career, your health, your family situation, they're all subject to change, of course. So how can you plan for your future when you don't know what it will hold? Five Rivers Group at Morgan Stanley, right here in Mobile, can help you by working with you to create a plan for your wealth and help you manage your investments through these changes. So just make an appointment with Five Rivers Group. It's easy. Call Hunt Griffith. He's one of the members of that organization you can call. They're all excellent. He's a financial advisor. Call him at 251-470-1092. That's Hunt Griffith at 251-470-1092. Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC. Member SIPC. Okay, 8:21, storm recovery. That's the mood that the mode that we're in right now, and have been for about 6 days, 7 days now, huh?
Yeah, there've been just thousands of people cleaning up. Cleaning up in Mobile County, although the damage wasn't nearly as widespread as it was in Baldwin County and Escambia County, Florida. And we've spent a majority of the last week talking about how folks are helping out and who you need to contact if you need help. But we also know that there's been some people, I think they call them storm chasers, but in a different sense, not the same people that see that a hurricane's coming and want to come document the hurricane and the tornadoes and the storms, but the storm chasers that are contractors and workers that come to town and try to take advantage of people that don't know any better or people that are in a time crunch. And I believe we have a caller on the line who wants to discuss that right now.
Yeah, we've got... let's see here. This is somebody down in Foley. Hi, who's this?
Yeah, this is Irby in Foley.
Hey, Irby, how are you?
And I'm doing pretty good. Man, it is pouring rain here. You got about 300-foot visibility.
Wow.
It is coming down. But anyway, what I called about was all these people coming in and out of here and giving bids or not giving bids or whatever. Before you accept a bid from anyone, make them hold their driver's license up under their chin, use your phone, take a picture of them so you'll have a record. And if you can videotape it all during that, that'd be wonderful. Get what? Everything they said.
That's a great idea. You know, now with the phones that we have today, the past, we've just kind of taken people at their word and all that, and it seems to have a friendly face.
Mm-hmm.
Now you take a picture of that friendly face.
I had a contractor come out. I had roof damage and some tree damage, so... had a contractor to come out. He looked at my roof, and just the eave itself is what got damaged, and maybe a square of shingles, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, he's going to give me a bid, and then he kept looking. And he said, I don't know if that whole side of your house is off kilter or not. I got to get another guy from the company to come out and look at it. Said, we may have to replace the whole side of that roof.
Mm.
And I have a huge roof, but it's not. I look at it, and it looks straight to me, man.
funny how that works.
They're gonna bring somebody else back.
Yeah,
to get up in the attic and tell me my roof is damaged so bad that they're gonna have to replace that whole side.
Yeah, good call, Irby. Appreciate you, man. Thank you very much.
And Sean Sullivan on Midday Mobile just a few days ago talked with a gentleman who had a lot of knowledge about some of these scam artists that come to town, and he did recommend a couple things, and one of those would be to, if you are going ahead with said contractor, go ahead and get a contract signed before the work. You don't want them to, you know, do all the add-ons that even when there isn't a storm. There's contractors that are known to kind of try to scam people out of some money.
Yeah.
Also, I know time is of the essence for so many people out there, but if you can get more than one quote on the work you need done, and maybe one of those is a local company that has to actually face their customers afterwards, that would help too. So,
all good points.
And the Alabama Attorney General, Steve Marshall, he's also come out and spoke about this as well. And I don't know if this is just for supplies that people are price gouging for, but you can go to alabamaag.gov/consumer complaint. That's alabamaag.gov/consumer complaint, or you can call 1-800-392-5658, 1-800-392-5658 if you feel like you've been wronged.
Got some good news from the beach. We got some restaurants opening up down there, including Southern Grind on Perdido Beach Boulevard.
Wow.
Can you imagine anything on that boulevard would be open right now? Bun Runners, also Canal, Live Bait right there on the beach, Bubba's Seafood on the beach, Waffle House on the beach.
Oh, they've been open.
Cactus Cantina right there on the beach, Rotolo's, Perdido Beach Boulevard as well, Hurricane Grill. I think those are sister companies, or they're all under the same ownership, by the way, Hurricane Grill and Rotolo's. Carver Steakhouse is now open. All these on Perdido Beach Boulevard, too. It's kind of surprising. Mile Marker, is that what it's called? Angry Crab is on Perdido Beach Boulevard. Master Joe's, Doc Seafood back on Canal Road, pretty good list right there. Ducks Diner on Easy Street is now open. Nothing's easy on Easy Street right now, but anyway, that's a nice little list put together by somebody down right there on the beach who wanted to promote local businesses opening back up. Good news.
Yeah, great news. And also, Gulf Shores and Orange Beach announced they're extending the visitor restrictions that they put in place. Remember, right after the storm, they said they would it would be 10 days before out-of-towners could come and stay in a condo or stay in a house and visit. And they've extended that, and they've said that beaches will remain closed until Friday, October 2nd. So I know Orange Beach Mayor Tony Kennan was hopeful that they'd have the beaches open by this weekend, and great to always have a goal. And maybe the book isn't written. Maybe they'll be able to, but right now they're saying beaches will remain closed until Friday, October the 2nd. And also, I want to give this number out one more time, the FEMA number.
It's a big number.
So many have asked about this. FEMA assistance is available. You can call their traditional number, 1-800-621-3362. That's 1-800-621-3362. You can go to disasterassistance.gov.gov or call the Crisis Cleanup Hotline if you still need things picked up right now. And that number is 1-800-451-1954. 1-800-451-1954. You give them your address, tell them what you need help with, and they'll assign a volunteer cleanup team to your area.
You called it on that situation in Pensacola, and by the way, I'm still not sure if it's been declared disaster in Pensacola. They were waiting on that and hoping that was going to happen sometime this week, but that company that was doing construction on the bridge where their 22 of their barges got loose during the storm and did damage to property all around Pensacola and the bay, and just crazy.
Tore a chunk out of the three-mile bridge.
And the bridge, yeah. So, right, and you were the one who said it. I said, boy, that's going to be a big problem. That company looks like, you know, anyway, they're in a little hot water. Already, there's a major law firm in Pensacola that is putting together a class action suit for anybody who thinks they had damage done by... Well, you'll know because there's a barge in your yard.
Yeah.
So you don't have to do a lot of detective work to figure out if that happened to you, more than likely, but...
Call barge hunters now.
That's just a crazy story that they looked at the forecast and their statement was... from the information we had, and they had an area where they could secure their barges, but with the information they had leading up to that storm, they decided not to, and it looks like that was a big mistake. Now, if it's going to cost them or not, I don't know. I'm not a judge, but it looks like some people want some money.
Yeah, that's going to be a story for weeks to come.
And now the traffic problem in Pensacola because of the bridge being tore up, that it's just a big mess.
Yeah.
Those barges did a whole lot of damage and now are going to create a whole lot of inconvenience for a long time.
No doubt about that. We got a stacked day ahead of us here on FM Talk 106.5. I'm sure coming up in the Jeff Poor Show, he'll discuss the wanton endangerment charges pressed against one of the officers involved in the shooting of Breonna Taylor in Louisville. Police made 127 arrests in Louisville overnight, and two police officers shot when that began late last night. So Jeff will talk about that, I'm sure, coming up 9 to noon today. And coming up after this, we'll talk with Rob Holbert from Lanyap. Got a new issue out on stands and great storm research and information there in the new Lanyaps. Check that out.
Straight ahead. FM Talk 106.5. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig.
FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. Let's head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing fantastic here at the opulent FM Talk 106.5 studios. And I know things are going well out at McConnell Automotive because you have tons of inventory in stock. Let us know what we can expect if we head out there today.
Finally got a bunch of inventory in. That's right. And look, it sun's out. It looks like a beautiful day. I know the roads are slick and wet, so y'all be careful out there. Don't forget, we got the best body shop in Mobile. Gary and the guys back there and the girls will take care of all your insurance needs and everything, and just take that. Yeah, if you want to look at the used cars, go to McConnellAutomotive.com. They're up. They're ready to go. Man, we got a trading in a Cadillac CTS-V. That's that Corvette motor in a CTS four-door Cadillac. It is fast. I love it, man. It is nice. Pearl white. It's the bright color. Tan interior. Don't forget, we got great interest rates on cars. We got the new AT4s sitting out there, 3/4 tons and 1/2 tons. We can order a AT4 Yukon.
Ooh.
Might have to wait a little bit before it gets built, but we can order it. So if you want to do that, go check those. Come by there and see Robert the gang at the GMC side. And if you got any questions on used cars, give Gene or I a call at 251-476-4141. Don't forget, we'll buy your car too. Just give us a VIN in the mile.
And I'm loving those AT4 Yukons. I was checking those out online last night. Those things are sharp, very sharp.
Those aren't going to stay in. So, like I said, if you want one, you need to come just order it.
All right. We appreciate it, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65. And check him out online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
838 FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan, Dalton Org. We are Mobile Mornings, and we are joined by Rob Hulbert, as customary on Thursdays at this time. Rob with the Lanyap Mobile, and good morning, Rob. I guess you guys have been very, very busy with a lot of things, including all this storm coverage. Great job on that.
Thank you, Dan. We're always busy, man. The news never sleeps. Right?
And it never sleeps, even when it's Rob Hulbert's birthday.
Hey, man. Yeah, it is. I already had 52 of these, so this is the 53rd one. Yeah.
And I thought maybe you would be the cover story in this week's Lanyap, but you were preempted by the storm coverage with Baldwin County absolutely getting hammered from Hurricane Sally. And I was reading it just this morning, some of the great stories that you guys have in there. And I mentioned this last week as everyone was starting to pick up the pieces very early on in the process. But Gabe Tynes, Jason Johnson, also Lynn Oldshue, they've got some really great in-depth articles and tons of photographs in this week's issue.
Yeah, our folks were really—they were out there running around and, you know, going and checking out everything and talking to people. And you know, they've got some really great stories. Gabe Tynes has a really interesting one about some folks who've actually ended up landlocked out there. They can't get out of their area because of the damages, the roadways, and also the fact that the county had torn down a bridge during that time, and they'd actually said something about it a few weeks before, saying, "Hey, you know, it's not a good time for it," but there they are, sort of trapped. Probably one of the more interesting stories that didn't end up in the paper was Gabe Tynes got chased down at gunpoint at one point.
What?
Over there. Yeah, Gabe was in a line of cars that was sort of waiting for a tree to be cleared, and some guy behind him started shooting, just hanging a gun out the window and shooting. So
what?
Gabe stomped on it to get out of there, and a couple of the guys that were working on the tree decided that Gabe was the shooter, and they jumped in a truck and hauled butt after him.
Holy cow.
And he stopped somewhere to make a phone call. They pulled up alongside of him and had a pistol pointed at him, screaming at him while he was, are you the guy shooting and all this kind of stuff. So, he had to get his little PTSD'd out after that.
That is insane. That's what, I mean, the person that was shooting, any idea, was he just upset about the traffic jam?
It was apparently some sort of neighborhood feud.
Oh.
All I do know about it, though, is the guy doing the shooting out the window was driving a Prius.
Prius?
It goes a little against grain.
It goes way against the grain.
It always comes from who you least expect it, driving a Prius.
That's, well, aside from that impromptu scene from Smokey and the Bandit, what else have you guys uncovered with the storm? I like the fact that you guys kind of dive deep a little deeper and talk to the people involved and get kind of personal recollections and stories, and not just pictures of damage.
Lynn Oldshue did a really good story with some folks out in Fort Morgan.
I saw that.
I mean, I think a lot of it really was going over there and trying to talk to people.
Yeah.
Particularly, obviously the damage, the real damage was in Baldwin, and they're still dealing with it. There's still people that don't have power over there, I think that's a big part of what they're trying to do is just get over and talk to folks and find out, get their stories. I mean, it's pretty horrific for people over there.
Yeah, it is.
More so than over in Mobile, I think.
Yeah, and that story from Gabe Tynes about that community over there by Wilcox.
Yeah.
And Kathleen Pizzatola, she called in to Sean's show last week and was discussing this a little bit, and you guys went a lot more in depth, but that's absurd. This community, they're on Lindholm Road out there, And they had a feeling that something like this might happen because just a few months ago, the county, they had basically one way in, at least one reasonable way to get onto the interstate, and that was this wooden bridge that they had out there. And then the Baldwin County Commission goes through and makes that impassable because they're going to rework on the road. So they had a huge detour to get onto the interstate.
To get out of there or get in there, yeah.
And then when the storm hits, it makes it so they can't even, I think, take that detour. And it makes it so difficult for, emergency crews to get back there. If someone were to have a heart attack or something, that is a heck of a story that Gabe wrote this week.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I mean, obviously the county commission can't be, they're not psychic. They don't know what's going to happen. But I think that the issue was raised that this was being done in the middle of hurricane season and, you know, is that the best timing? Because, I mean, what they're doing is replacing an old bridge that really does need to be replaced. It's a wooden bridge that you can't even drive a school bus across any longer.
Wow.
So, you know, that work does need to be done. I don't want to be too hard on the county commission over there about that, but the timing did not work out very well.
Mm. And we will get to some more local news here in a second, but as we continue to commend you and encourage people to go read the latest issue of Lagniappe, I love one of your most recent pickups there, and that's getting Alan Seals to write a weekly article and kind of explain what he looks at when he's looking at weather forecasts. And with this storm, had such a large cone as it made its way through the Gulf, and then at the very last moment, overnight, Tuesday night, really started working its way east, and then, of course, made landfall there in Baldwin County and so much damage. But Alan Seals really breaks it down this week and talks about the difficulty of forecasting things like that.
Yeah, he does, and he also gives us some really good information about this storm in particular versus, you know, and we're all sitting around saying, was this worse than Katrina? Was this worse than Ivan? Was it, you know, those are sort of our touch points on this. And one thing he did explain, you know, that Sally had a hurricane zone of about 40 miles across. Ivan had one over 100 miles across.
Mm.
So, you know, they are much larger, but then Sally just sat there and beat, you know, they just pounded away, even though Ivan, for instance, which came in the exact same place in actually the same day, you know, what, back in 2004.
Yeah,
16 years ago.
And so, you know, that it was a faster moving storm, higher winds, but a faster moving storm. But Sally did a lot of damage just by standing, you know, just by sitting there and pounding on it. So it's really interesting stuff. You know, Alan always has a great, obviously, terrific perspective and a lot more knowledge than the rest of us have about this stuff.
I'm reading an amazing story right now about Philo Battery that's almost, it's hard to believe, but in about a few minutes we'll be back, and Rob, you can sort that out for everybody, okay?
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a pretty amazing story.
It's a goodie, all right, in a bad way. It's 845 FM Talk 106.5. More with Lagniappe's Rob Hulbert on the way with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. It is Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on FM Talk 106.5, 850, 10 minutes away from 9 o'clock in the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah, and Rob, thanks for joining us again this morning. If people out there, if people want to subscribe to Lagniappe online or find the latest issue out on the streets, how can they do that?
Well, you can go to lagniappemobile.com, check us out there. Of course, you can always look for our purple boxes all over the place, and that's where we put most of our papers these days because of the COVID and also now storm stuff. But, you know, check for the boxes. You can always get us online, and there's breaking news there every day, and, you know, it's 21 cents a day to be a subscriber, and you know, it's pretty cheap. So, you know, I hope folks will take that into account and help keep journalism in Mobile going.
And an insane story in this week's Lagniappe that you and Jason Johnson both wrote about, and I'll read the lead in your Damn the Torpedoes here and lead you right into it. If a small town housing authority was found to be paying its only two employees, the director and facilities manager, who happened to be married, almost $210,000 between them, would that raise an eyebrow? I'll say yes. That raises a couple eyebrows on my face.
Yeah, we
Rob.
got
that
four.
Might raise an eyebrow.
Yeah.
And then if they gave themselves $140,000 bonus this year, that would really raise an eyebrow.
Yeah, we have four raised eyebrows in the studio right now, Rob.
then if you found out that their newest contract gives them a $4.1 million lump sum retirement bonus, your eyebrows would fly up and hit the ceiling, right? You know, I mean, this is what's going on out at the Bayou La Batterie Housing Authority. I'll tell you right now, this is worth your 21 cents. It is a crazy story. I've never seen anything like this in terms of a board giving people money. This is a couple who run a 99 unit housing facility out there, and you know, Virginia Huddleston is the director. She is paid $120,000 a year and is being given more than $2 million retirement bonus.
Wow.
I mean, a lump sum retirement. And her husband, who is the facilities manager, basically the maintenance guy, gets paid on the $89,000 a year, and he got a $69,000 a year bonus, and he's getting more than $1 million retirement bonus as well.
He must be really handy with a screwdriver to make a $69,000 bonus. He had a great year.
Yeah, you know, it's an amazing thing. And the amazing part of it is that you have a board. So when all this, we started getting on this, and when they passed their newest contract with all these things in there, Jason Johnson went down there, and they refused to give him this document. It's a public document. But Huddleston just flat out, he said, hey, I want to see that. And she said, no, you can't see it. And then they made up some stuff about they're going to be on vacation for the next 3 months, and maybe they could get it back when they got back. So they have a generous vacation plan as well. But the, when we got the contract finally, you know, the mayor's been trying to put some new people on the authority out there, which was also being blocked by Huddleston. And once those new people got on the board, everybody else that was on the board quit. Huddleston and her husband both quit. They've all resigned. And you know, claiming that people are out to get them and whatever else, but it's fascinating. Once we saw the documentation, it's just kind of like, wow, I can't believe this housing authority, the people on the board, would sit there and pass these types of bonuses and retirements.
How big was the board?
I think it's about five or six people. I can't remember exactly the number.
Yeah, five or six upstanding citizens for sure.
It's a strange program.
And I guess Jason Johnson, he started looking into this. He went to a meeting there with the Bayou La Batterie Housing Authority. And first off, props to Jason for, of all places, going to a Bayou La Batterie Housing Authority meeting and then finding out about this. Are officials looking into this, or how is this going to be taken care of?
Yeah, well, you know, one of the people that's on the board now is a deputy sheriff's investigator, captain from the sheriff's department. So there's definitely investigation going on into it. People are looking at this saying there's got to be an investigation of it. But it is still just, you know, what they were trying to do was sell all this property off, and that would be where this money came from for these retirements. And you know, if that had gone through a few months ago as they hoped it would, it may have been very hard to find out about it.
Hmm. Very interesting. And you can check that out in the latest issue of Lagniappe. Also, fiscal year 2021 budget for Mobile has been passed here recently, and Mobile City Council approved that. And one of the things here, and it's interesting tonight with South Alabama taking the field for the second time at the new Hancock Whitney Bank Stadium on the USA campus. Of course, they used to play at Ladd Peebles Stadium, but quite a bit of money going towards Ladd Peebles for new locker rooms and some renovations.
Yeah, it's once again the Ladd Peebles. Let's keep Ladd. Let's keep putting money into Ladd. I personally don't agree with it. I don't think it's a great expenditure. But I think the plans that we originally had of probably getting rid of it and doing something smaller make a lot more sense. But there are people who are just really hell bent to say that we're going to turn this into some sort of venue out there, and they think new locker rooms are the biggest problem that they have. And so, you know, we're going to put money in and build new locker rooms. We'll see. I mean, time will tell. You know, but in 2-3 years, if there's not a bunch of stuff going on out there, I think we're going to look back and say this is money not well spent. You know, if it's if I'm wrong, and in two or three years we've got all these events out there, I'll be happy to say it.
Well, we've gone decades without that being the case. But events are leaving. They're not coming. The Senior Bowl is going to go out to South Alabama. The other bowl game that occasionally gets a
Lending
name,
Tree now.
Lending
yeah.
Tree. But it's I don't see how you can really justify that. It's just become so political. I mean, I've done high school football games there, Rob, and not even just because of COVID, but it's a 40,000-seat stadium.
Yeah.
And we'll have maybe on a good night, you might have 2,000 people there, 3,000. Maybe in a big rivalry game, you get up closer to above 5,000. But that's it. We don't need that many stands. We don't need that. We don't need the downsizing. It seemed to be the best investment.
It made the most sense to me. But it, as you said, it turned political, and it's turned into this thing of, you know, that the community there is having something taken away from it if that goes away, instead of, you know, taking it, downsizing it, and doing something with the property around there to make it nicer, which was the original plan. But you know, there are very strong forces at work on this politically who want this to stay out there and believe it is a wedge issue. And this, and I think the people on the board at LAD, you know, the people on that board really want to be on that board and really want to have that stadium going. And I get that. But it's going to be hard. You know, they have to justify it at some point.
I mean, I know that it's
you can't just keep saying somewhere in the future we're going to have this happen. Somewhere in the future this is going to happen. I have to see it.
No, it's a neighborhood icon. I get that. It's not the Eiffel Tower, okay?
Right. I mean, it looks a little bit like it.
The one end zone.
Set looking, but, you know.
Yeah.
Well, Rob, you're so kind to join us on your birthday, and if folks want to read more about the what the city council's doing, pretty much any of the big local news that people need to know about and the storm coverage, they can check out the latest issue of Lanyap on Streets Now. So thank you so much for coming on with us this morning.
All right, guys. Glad to be here. Y'all have a great day.
Happy birthday, man. Where's the party?
Hey, tell John Williams happy birthday, too. Councilman has a birthday today, too.
Share one. Yeah. Very nice. Thank you.
Share a birthday.
There's Rob from Lanyap.
Yeah. Coming up on the Jeff Poor Show, he's talking with Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News. Also, Barry Moore, AL2 GOP nominee. Terry Lathan, the chairwoman of ALGOP. State Senator Greg Albritton. You don't want to miss that. Starts in just minutes right here on FM Talk 106.5.